Let's take our Bibles this morning and look in Hebrews chapter 11. Matter of fact, before you turn there, you can turn to Genesis 4 and hold your place in Genesis 4. And then we'll be starting in Genesis or Hebrews chapter 11. Genesis chapter 4. And Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start off there and just going to read one verse in Hebrews 11. And for those that maybe are familiar with this chapter, it's pretty well known as a lot of people call it the Hall of Faith. And mentions several people who were men and women, both of great faith. And I want to look at one this morning and give you what the Lord's laid on my heart out of Hebrews 11. And let's look at verse number 4. It says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh." I love that last phrase there. By it he, being dead, yet speaketh. What speaks about Abel, what's all these thousands of years later, we're here in Amory, Mississippi, on the last day of 2023, with a Bible in our hand, sitting in a church, and we're talking about this man Abel. And after all these years, what speaks is not any earthly accomplishment. As far as we know, he didn't probably even live a very long life. But what speaks is his faith. He was a man of faith. And that's what's really going to speak, if anything, is going to speak from our lives after we're gone. It's going to be our faith. If it's anything that's worth anything, anything of any value will be our faith. And so he's mentioned in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith, but I want to back up to Genesis 4, and I want to read the actual account of what the Bible is talking about, what's being referenced in Hebrews 11. So we have the reference in the New Testament. Hebrews 11 is referencing back to the Old Testament. And if you'll look with me in Genesis 4, verse number 1, we have the account of what's being dealt with in Hebrews 11. It says in verse 1, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. The Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And I want to end off reading there, and I want to preach for a few minutes with the Lord's help this morning on the faith and sacrifice of Abel. The faith and sacrifice of Abel. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace this morning once again, and thank you for the opportunity to pray, and thank you, Lord, for your word, and Lord, that we have a Bible this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the church and for allowing us to assemble together one more time this side of eternity. Lord, we know, Lord, the gravity of this service and this time of preaching. Lord, this may be the last message we ever hear, maybe the last message I ever preach. And so, Lord, I pray that You would help us this morning to receive it as such. And Lord, we know that this is Your Word, and I pray that You'd help me to preach in a way that'd be pleasing unto You. Give that special touch, Lord, that makes preaching. And I pray that if there be someone here this morning who is lost without God, that today would be the day of salvation. They'd repent and believe the gospel and be born again. Lord, for Your people, I pray that we'd be drawn closer to Thee. Lord, I pray that we would be stirred unto revival, and Lord, be more committed. Lord, that we'd be changed. Lord, I pray that today we'd walk away from here saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Just have Your perfect will and way in this service, and we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we look here in this story, we probably all are familiar with the account of Cain and Abel. And I'm focusing this morning on Abel, but I want to say a word or two about Cain. And it's amazing when we think about this situation here with Cain and Abel, how awfully prolific and rapid sin is in its progress. I mean, the first man ever created sinned against God and brought sin into the world. And then the first man born murdered his own brother. And so the first man created sinned against God. The first man ever born created one of the blackest sins recorded in the Bible, and that is taking the life of another human being. And by the way, that is a very grave sin in the eyes of God. It's a very serious sin because man is created in the image of God. We bear the image of our Creator. And so to sin against mankind is to sin directly against God as far as God is concerned. You're marring the image of God. And the Bible talks about how the blood of Abel cries out. He goes on to say that in the chapter. How much do you think the blood of all these millions of babies we've slaughtered is crying out to God? Let me tell you something. America's going to fall, and she gets exactly what she deserves. Amen? Slaughtering all these babies, all this sodomy and all this stuff. Listen, whenever the judgment falls, America will get what's coming to her. Amen? Because sin, the sin of murder is a very, very serious sin. And the first man ever born was a murderer, and he slayed his own brother. And what a terrible sin. And what that shows you is how rapid and how prolific sin is, the process of sin. A little bit of sin will take over. A little bit of leaven will leaven the whole lump very quickly, by the way. Amen? And so any little bit of sin you allow in your life, you let to go on in your life, any little bit of sin you let in your family, I'm telling you, it'll very quickly take over if you do not deal with it. Amen? And by the way, you may not have to deal with it. It may not just be one time you deal with it either. I was actually thinking and praying just this morning whenever we were having our time of altar prayer. I was praying. I was just thinking and just telling the Lord, Lord, oh, what a struggle it is. What a struggle it is living in this flesh and living in this world and dealing with all of this. And that's what I'm going to be one of the greatest things of heaven is to be able to put off this mortality for immortality. Amen? To not have to struggle and not have to bow. Let me tell you something. If you don't feel the struggle with your flesh this morning, you're not saved. Amen? I tell you, the moment you get born again, it is a struggle all the way. Amen? And I tell you, there's so many things in my life that I've made one altar trip to and another and another and another and another and another. And I'll keep on going back to the altar probably till I get to glory because it is a battle with this flesh. Amen? And that's the way sin is. It will quickly take, if you don't keep constantly beating it down, beating yourself down, beating your flesh down, beating down the sin that springs up in your life and the sin that springs up in your family, the sin you see springing up in your children, the sin you see springing up in the church, the sin, it's always springing up. And if you don't constantly deal with it, I'm telling you, it'll take over. Amen?
Brother Randy Sullivan says all the time that if you'd weed eat every now and then, you wouldn't have to bush hog. Amen. And so I tell you, because it'll take over so quickly. Sin will in the progress of it. The first man born into our world was a murderer, the murderer of his own brother. The second man born, Abel, the man who was murdered, was a martyr. He's the first among so many who suffered for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He would be considered the first martyr. The reason his life was taken from him, the reason he suffered like he did, was simply for doing that which was right in the eyes of God. The reason his brother Cain was so wroth and so angry with his brother was really not that he was mad at his brother at all. He was mad at God. And you know, the same is true in the flesh. Now, that spirit of Cain still lingers in all of us. That spirit of Cain, that mentality of Cain, and the reason people get mad at God, the reason people get mad at the preacher, the reason people get mad at the things of God, is because God won't let them do things their way and then just accept it. That is what the flesh wants. That's that spirit of Cain. That Lord, I'm sincere. And Lord, I want to do it. I want to please you, but I just want to do it this way. And then when God doesn't respect it and God doesn't accept it, then man gets mad at God, right? And that's that spirit of Cain. You know, you can spend your life trying to kick in a door that God does not open. And if He doesn't open that door, you'll never get any further with God. The greatest thing we could ever do is get hooked in with God's program instead of trying to hook God into our program. And as you look at society and look at fallen humanity, what you will see is that the majority of humanity is trying to mold God to His program. Have a God that accepts His worship the way He wants to worship. That's what modern perverted verses of the Bible are all about. It's all about molding God, having the God I want, having the kind of church I want. Isn't it amazing that even supposedly good old-time Christians, they'll go on the search for the church that fits them. We just looking for the right church for us. Listen, church and worshiping God, it's not about you. Amen? That's why I'm not for internet church. That's why I'm not for online streaming church. And I'm not against everybody that does that. I know it's got some legitimate things. But listen, by and large, I'm not concerned and interested in streaming all our services so folks can sit around in their long johns and sip coffee and relax on the couch and do their dishes while it plays in the background and say they've been to church. Amen. Listen, when we talk about worshiping the great I Am, the creator and sustainer of it all, the very least we could do is show up. Put on our best and show up. Amen. And by the way, I still believe in wearing your Sunday best. Amen. Not for me, but for God's sake. Hallelujah. We ought to give Him our best. If you're not careful, you let that spirit of Cain take over you. That I'll do it my way, and God's got to accept it. And if He don't, I'm mad at God. And if the preacher preaches against it, I'm mad at the preacher. Amen. But our program isn't what matters. It's God's program that matters. And it was true in 2023. It'll be true in 2024. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that right? And that's the way Cain thought. God wouldn't do it his way and go along with what he wanted. So he's mad at God now. Right? It's amazing, you know, I'm thinking about going back out on the street corner, you know, a street preacher, talking to people on the you know, passing out tracts or trying to win or swear. It's amazing how many people, I think about, the truths down the jail too, you know. Guys will hang around and they'll have these Bible questions. People always got Bible questions, but what they are looking for is to hear you okay and go along with what they're already thinking about it. And I told you about this not long ago, but we had a guy that showed up for two services, and the second I told him, was about to show him with a Bible now, why the way he was thinking about it was wrong, and the way God thinks about it is right, he never came back. And that never came back. Because according to him, the way we believe doesn't line up with the way he believes. Amen? Wait, listen, what I believe doesn't matter. And what he believes don't matter either. What matters is what this Bible says. Amen? I'd say everybody is looking for somebody to confirm what they already believe. That's why if you don't preach against dress standards, people will flock to your church. Because they've made up their mind, I'm going to do this. This is the way I want it. And either this church won't say anything about it, or I'll find me a church that doesn't and still be in the will of God. Well, you can't have the whole counsel of God without it. And you can't please God without it. Amen? And it's not just as many things. People will find the flavor, the brand of place that lines up with what they want. But you better line up with what God wants. You say, where's all this coming from, Jacob? I'm telling you, that's the spirit of Cain is what it is. It's that spirit of Cain that is still in us. That I want it my way, and God's got to do it my way and see it my way, or I'm just going to get mad and take my ball and go home. Right? And so that spirit of Cain, that's why he slew his brother. Listen, that's why religion slew the Lord. That's why Herod slew John the Baptist. It's that same spirit that's still around. Our subject, however, this morning refers to Abel. So the spirit of Cain is still there. But I want to look at Abel. I want to look at Abel's faith and his sacrifice that he presented to God in light and in the face of all that. Because do you know that if you ever do anything for God, you're going to have to do it in the face of that spirit of Cain that's still here. Amen? One thing I want my children as they grow and I want us to all really to understand, but I especially try to put it to my boys that listen, just because people aren't patting you on the back and aren't telling you what a great job you're doing, listen, doesn't mean you're not doing a great job. In fact, if you're doing that which is right, don't even expect people to pat you on the back. Don't expect people to get excited about it. Amen? Listen, I was thinking, you know, you could have a big program and they could quote 1,000 Bible verses, you know, and you could make a big thing out of it and give a certificate and give an award for it and all those things, and hardly anybody in the world would care about that. But if they knock a home run, people will flock to it. Right? I mean, people will flock to call things. But listen, don't ever expect people to get excited over the things of God. Don't ever expect people to get excited over living right and doing right. And none of us should expect that. Because we'll always do it like Abel. We'll do it standing next to Cain. Everything we're doing for God, we're standing next to Cain while we're doing it. And Cain isn't excited about what we're doing. Right? The faith and sacrifice of Abel. First of all, let me mention Abel. The fact that Abel offered a sacrifice unto God. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us specifically how Abel knew what to sacrifice. It doesn't go into the details of God, you know, sitting them down and saying, this is how you do a sacrifice. It doesn't say all of that. But we do know that he knew. That he knew, by the way, he knew and Cain knew. Don't feel sorry for Cain. I preached a message on Cain and Abel in the jail probably over a year ago now. And I remember one of the guys in the jail talking about feeling sorry for Cain. Don't feel sorry for Cain. Cain knew what he was doing. Cain knew what would please God. In fact, God questioned him about it. He said, you know, in verse number 7, don't you know that if you do well, you'll be accepted? Cain knew what the right thing to do was. He just didn't want to do it. He wanted to do it his way. He wanted what he wanted. And so we don't know how they knew, but we know that they knew. And no doubt the skins which God had already clothed Adam and Eve with, those were an example because they weren't skins for skin's sake. There was the shedding of blood there, right? And I'm certain that the shedding of blood took place in all of that. And what that did was that set in motion the pattern between God and man from that point through eternity. Amen. The pattern of sacrifice. The pattern of my life for yours. One life for another. The pattern of sacrifice. And doubtless God revealed the nature of the sacrifices and what they symbolized to these people. And Abel's sacrifice was the firstling of his flock. The very, very best that he could offer God. A lamb, the best and choicest that his flock could possibly yield. And do you know that's the only thing God accepts? He only accepts the very, very best that we could offer. Amen? God will never play second fiddle or ride backseat to anything in our life. Amen? And so he always requires the best. And by the way, afterwards, he incorporated that whole thing into the Jewish ritual in that Passover, that annual Passover and all those things. And so that set in motion the idea of sacrifice. Abel offered a sacrifice. You know, you'll never get anywhere with God without offering a sacrifice. Isn't that what David said? There was a guy that wanted to give him all the bulls, give him everything to offer a sacrifice. He was going to give it to him. He'd take it all. And David said, I will not offer that which to God which cost me nothing. It's got to cost you something if God is going to accept it. Amen? And Jesus said regarding that widow and her mite, he said she's given all because she gave all that she had. It cost her something. And all that other religious crowd were giving out of their abundance. And at the end of the day, it wasn't costing them anything. They didn't feel it when they gave to them, but she felt it when she dropped it in because she knew she'd have to trust God from that point forward. She knew she'd have to lean on Him from that point forward. And I tell you, that's the way sacrifice is, a sacrifice that God accepts. It's the kind of sacrifice that you give it to the Lord. You say, Lord, I'm just going to trust You for the results from this on out. Amen. And that doesn't just only apply to finances. It does, but not just finances. It applies to anything we do for God, anything we give to God, any commitment we make, any repentance, anything we tell God we're going to do at an altar somewhere, any of it. It requires faith if it's a real sacrifice. Not only did he offer a sacrifice unto God, but we know that Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain's sacrifice. That's what the Bible says. And it was the offering prescribed by God. You'll never do better than obedience, by the way. The reason that Abel's sacrifice was better, more excellent, the Bible says, than Cain's sacrifice is just simply because it was what God was asking for. And you know, none of us will ever do any better than just what God's asking us to do. You'll never be, your spirituality will never exceed beyond that which you obey, which is written in this book. We'll never get more spiritual than that. And it's interesting because people, you know, some people try to be super spiritual, right? These super spiritual people that get these revelations and get these feelings and these impressions and all these things because they're so sensitive and so spiritual, yet they won't do little simple things that the Bible says do. Amen? None of us will ever do any better than just simply doing what God asks us to do. Abel's offering was better as being more suited to a sinner. A sinner requires a mediator, a way of access to God. And Cain's sacrifice only savored of natural religion. Cain's sacrifice spoke of the work of his hands, what he could do, what he could produce, what he could be impressed with. Abel's sacrifice was just simply what God wanted. And then Abel offered his sacrifice in faith. And there's a couple things I want to say about his faith. First of all, his faith recognized his own unworthiness and guilt. That's why I believe, no doubt Abel gave the sacrifice and did what he did. Because he knew he couldn't do it any other way. He knew there was no other way. This is just what God wanted, and I can't do it any other way because God's way is the best way. You know, Jesus said that the whole need not a physician. It takes sinners that get help with God. Amen? And no doubt he saw himself as unworthy and undeserving of God. And so he just did all he could do. And that is just what God asked him to do. Killing that lamb reflects on the just reward of sin, and that is death. And then his faith would depend on that sacrifice. He offered the sacrifice for himself, and he felt personally concerned for himself. You know, you'll never get anywhere with God either. The sinner will never get anywhere with God, and we'll never get anywhere with God. Those of us that are saved in regards to revival, if we don't get personally concerned, bothered by where we are, bothered by where we're at. He was personally concerned, and he rested his hope, and he believed that God accepted him through this sacrifice because God said he would. Now, and of course, that's all coming through the promised Messiah. He's looking forward to the promised Messiah. We're looking back in faith at the Messiah that did come and did die and did rise again. But he believed God, and he rested all his expectation of eternal life on him and this sacrifice. Not only that, but we see that God testified his approval of Abel's sacrifice. It says over in Hebrews 11 where we read that he obtained witness. And it said that God testifying. It says here that his sacrifice was more excellent than that of Cain's. You know, God testified his approval of the sacrifice. Now, what did God witness? He witnessed that Abel was righteous. That's what he said. He offered what pleased God, and he obeyed God's sacrificial law. And that means that he was justified, he was forgiven and accepted and received by God because he did that which was right. And then Abel, by his faith and sacrifice, still gives us instruction today. So we have the story, the account of it in Genesis 4. But when we have the testimony of it in Hebrews 11, where he still instructs us. That's what he said in Hebrews 11. By it he being dead, yet speaketh. Now, and what does Abel instruct us? How does Abel's sacrifice and Abel's faith, how does it instruct me? Well, in a few different ways. First of all, it instructs us in the fact that sinful man can have access to God. Amen. God is accessible, even to the vilest, even to the most guilty sinner, if that sinner will bow to God's command. He can have access to God if he will bow. Whosoever will may still come. Whosoever will. If he will bow. Now what you still have in 2023 and you'll still have in 2024 is two competing mentalities, two competing spirits. That is the spirit of Cain and the spirit of Abel. And that spirit of Cain will still compete in man. It says, I want to do it my way, but if anyone will take upon them the spirit of Abel and bow to what God commands, come God's way, you can have access. The sinful man can have access to God. But it also instructs us that the way of sacrifice is the only way in which God approves. He said that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You know, all our blessings are through Christ's death. Everything good about us is because of that. And there is no pardon, and there is no holiness, there is no pleasing God without that. Outside of that, that blood and that blood alone is the only way that we can have access to God. It's the only thing that God approves. And then it instructs us that faith is essential to acceptance. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, and unbelief insults God. Unbelief rejects His mercy and it throws discredit on His Word. And faith trusts all and everything where God has laid the only foundation. Faith is simply this: believe in God. And people, you know, they always ask the question, well, will this sin send you to hell? Or if I've done this, will I go to hell? Or if I've done... No, the only sin that'll send you to hell is unbelief. Unbelief. Because all of our sin has been paid for it if we'll believe. Now, you'll have to pay for your sin if you won't believe. But the sin that will send you to hell is the sin of unbelief. Because man just simply will not believe what God has done. And then last of all, it instructs us that true religion may expose us to severe suffering. It may cost us our wealth. Before it's over with, it may cost us our liberty. It may cost us our reputation. It may even cost us our life itself if we're going to live for God. It cost Abel his. And all through this Bible and down through history, there is a trail of blood where God's people have suffered and have given even their life's blood to serve the Lord. And finally, it teaches us that God's favor will repay all that it may cost us. We talk a lot about sacrifice and how living for God and serving God is going to require sacrifice, and it is. But do you know that what God repays always far outweighs that which it cost us? Amen. You say, well, I mean, how much is it going to cost me to serve God? Well, it's going to cost you everything. Holding on to one thing will keep you out. It did the rich young ruler. One thing. That doesn't mean you necessarily have to sell all you have, give to the poor, and go follow him. But you got to be willing to. If that's the thing that's got your heart and you won't let go of, that's the thing that'll keep you out. Amen? You say, well, that's a lot. I mean, that's everything. Oh, it is everything. That's what we're talking about. We talk about our ego is buried at Calvary. And you do. If you go by Calvary, you bury your ego. You live in Christ. That's it. It's all given up at Calvary. If you ever get in, you say, boy, that's a lot and it costs too much. And by the way, that is what the flesh says. That is what the world will say. That is what the devil says. That it costs too much. It's too much. But I'm here to testify that anything you give up for Him, you'll be returned to you 100-fold, just like He promised. God is a debtor to no man. He's a debtor to no man. Nobody, when we say you'll never outgive God, that is a biblical principle. That's not something we made up. It's not something we just come up with to get people to give more. Oh no, it's a Bible truth that you will never give more of your life. You'll never give more of your finances. You'll never give more of your commitment. You'll never give so many friends. You'll never give up your family. You'll never give up anything where God won't repay you abundantly more than that which it cost you. Always, every time. See, Abel paid a great price. But was it worth it? I mean, if you could ask Abel right now, Abel, you still glad you did that? I mean, if you had it to do over, would you have done it differently? Would you have taken it back? I mean, knowing how your brother would probably respond and knowing the rift that it caused in your family and knowing all the problems, I mean, knowing all that, I mean, would you have done it differently, Abel? Was it worth it? You do not doubt that it was worth it. It was certainly worth it. And many down through the years have paid the same, and I assure you none of them ever regretted it. If they had 1,000 lives, they would sacrifice them all for Christ, all for salvation, all for eternal life. I'm trying to think of the... The man that said many years ago as he was about to be burnt at the stake, that he said that the only really tragedy that there was that he didn't have 1,000 lives to give. About to die for the cause of Christ. And the only thing he regretted was that he didn't have another one to give. He didn't have another to sacrifice. You know what it says to all of us? It says to those that are believers to cleave to Christ. Draw nigh to Him. It'll be worth it all. You know what it says to sinners? It says, come to Him and live. Any sinner that would come to Him would find mercy if you come His way. It's all been bought and paid for. And Abel's faith, Abel's sacrifice, teaches us that. He being dead, yet speaketh. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for helping us with it, and I pray that you'll take it and use it. Help us, Lord, to respond in a way that'd be pleasing unto you. Lord, as you spoke to our hearts, have your will and way in the altar call, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.